from Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 19th day of July 2023. And this is Pledge Week, Pledge Week, Pledge Week. And so, folks, I'm going to give the numbers out right out of the chute so somebody won't hold up a sign and say, give the number, right? Okay. It's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Now, way back there in the phone booth, we have our faithful volunteers, Eric and Randy, and, well, who's back there with them? Frank's back there with them. Uh-huh. Eric, Randy, and Frank. And then we have there in between us in the glass cage, for you seminar callers and you mean-spirited Democrats, don't rile Kyle. He's there.
Hey,
he's
Pastor ready. Ernie.
He can handle it. Hey, Kyle. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Pastor Ernie. You got me?
Yeah, I got you now already. And then we have what you heard. There's always a lot of cackling. You folks, you always hear the cackle. Go ahead and cackle. But never any eggs. We have Lock and Load Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
All right. All righty. There you go. And here we have, it's every other week. We call Wendy Wednesday. She's pert. She's pretty. And she can be smart and witty. Miss Wendy Wilson.
Hello, Pastor. Good evening.
Good evening, young lady. Now, he's not pert, he's not pretty, but there have been moments when he's been very witty, none other than the parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
You could say I'm the one with the face for radio in the crowd, but we'll leave it at that.
All righty.
Hi, Wendy.
Hey, Pastor Joe. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Oh, and I can actually see sometimes, so we're working on it.
Yeah, who knows? One of these days, Joe.
I want to take 1 second to thank all the callers and listeners out there. I've been getting a lot of cards and letters and a lot of people praying for me, and I really, really do appreciate it. I want to thank them all. I haven't gotten around to being able to answer everyone yet. I've got so many things going on right now. But just want to let everybody know a great, big, wonderful thank you, and God bless all of you.
We have some wonderful people out there listening. I know that when I had my shoulder replaced, I got so many calls from people and cards and letters, and we really appreciate all the thoughtfulness. And Wendy, you did the same when you had your eyes.
Had a swelling of the eye, and it was allergy related, and so yeah, I got several cards and well wishes and people praying for me, and I'm like you, Pastor Joe, I've answered them. Another one's going out tomorrow, so appreciate it. So nice, and it's uplifting to get those. It's really nice.
Well, one of these days we'll all have brand spanking new bodies,
mm-hmm.
and we won't have all the problems we have now, huh?
Right.
Alrighty. I do want to say, start right out of the chute, you know, Stuart Epperson passed away Monday. He was the president of Salem Communications. Do you remember Stuart? He's there in North Carolina, where you live.
Are you talking about senior or son?
Senior.
Okay. I worked with the son at the Winston Salem Station.
Well, I know it was the senior because he's 86.
Okay.
And so, one thing, he was, I don't know how tall he was, but he was very tall. I think he was 6'8 or 6'9 or something. He's very tall.
Yeah, the son was tall, too.
And I remember one day we were at the National Religious Broadcasting, and I was sitting in one of those really comfortable chairs they had in the lounge, and I was talking to some of the other broadcasters there. And all of a sudden, this extremely pretty young blonde-headed lady comes walking in, and as I'm sitting there, she steps on my feet. Not just one of them, but on both of them. And she said, "I'm so sorry." She said, "But don't blame me." She said, "I got my big feet from my grandfather." And that was Stuart Epperson. She says, "Come on, I want you to come and meet him." Well, we went over there, and she says, "Grandpa, do you know who this is?" And he goes like this. He takes his hands up like he's got a gun in each hand. And he goes, "Always, always keep fighting the fight." So he knew who I was. But he was a great guy, very friendly. Everybody loved him. Everybody loved him. Now he's made it. He graduated, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, we got a lot to cover tonight, so I'm going to start off with a prayer. This is Pledge Week, and we really need. We've got Wendy here in Ohio. We're really in a battle. We've got to stop this pro-abortion amendment, this pro-death amendment to the Constitution they want to pass in Ohio. It is right from the pit of hell, and the people that are behind this are not only the same people that are pro-killing innocent children, they're the same people that are behind mutilating these young children with these so-called trans surgeries. They're the same people that are behind LGBTQ, and the very same people that are behind all the pedophilia and the child sex rings. They're the same people. When you have these signs out there that says vote no on issue one, those are the same people. So people out there, you better pay attention. You failed God how many times in your life? We can't fail this time. We've got it. You've got to vote yes on August 8th on issue one. It's very, very important. We've got to stop it here. And then we have another battle in November. But after saying all that, I'm going to open in prayer. But before we do, I want to say, well, Wendy Wilson pledges $915. Mm-hmm. Bob and Marie from Doers of the Word Baptist Church, they pledge $200. Pastor Joe Larson himself pledges $300. And we got something popping up coming up right now. Mm-hmm. Lou in Michigan pledges $300. Hey, Joe, I didn't even get a chance to ask someone to match it, but he already did. Pledges $300.
Like minds think, you know. What can I say?
How about them?
Think alike.
Let's get someone to match Wendy's $915 too. That'll work. All right. But let's lead off with prayer tonight. Let's pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we come before you, Lord, you've set us out here. You've raised us up for this time. Not just us, but the people out there listening to us right now. You've raised us up for this time, and Lord, you've made it pretty clear to us that resistance to tyranny is obedience to you. Failure to resist tyranny is disobedience. So Lord, as the enemy, as Satan and his crowd, and Satan and his people, as they know, as they can feel their time coming, they can feel their time coming. And so the wickedness, whether it's abortion, whether it's all this transgender and this sodomy and all of this evil wickedness that's increasing at such a rapid rate, just like you told us it would. But yet, Father, you've raised us up. Now, you told us one could chase 1,000 and two, 10,000. And, Lord, we're asking right now tonight, because we're in this battle. We've never compromised in all years, 50 years, never. Not once ever compromised, and we're in this until we win. That, Lord, we need for you to touch the hearts of the people tonight, Lord. Touch the hearts of the people as we have this pledge week. And Lord, help us to get back upon the other stations we had to go off of, Lord, Father God, and help us to bring your message. First, the message of salvation, as we do every day, but bring your message that people do the three missions, that we honor the three missions, the Great Commission first and foremost, resistance to tyranny second, and standing fast, holding our ground, holding fast to the traditions of the apostles, and all to your glory. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so now we have, we got to get right in our scripture. And so, oh, I got to say this. I didn't do this. Where'd it go? Here it is. Okay, well, we have an offer we've been making, Wendy. We have perilous times. We only have 12 of these left right now, perilous times. And this is a dynamite book by Bill Grady. It talks about the days we're living in right now. It talks about how to get through, how to navigate any all of the things that we're facing. That's what he works on, is how to get through these times. Dynamite book. We're asking a donation of $50 for that. The Bible and the Blackboard. That is all about how to work within the public education system. And we're asking $15 for that. Then the American Awakening. The American Awakening by Senator Lamont. Jim Lament, we're asking, that's all about the first 2 years. And we saw what all of this weaponizing, the FBI, the Justice Department, the CIA, and all these agencies against Christians and against patriots really went into on fast track during the Obama regime, the first 2 years of the Obama regime. And he talks about this. Also, we have CDs. We have three CDs that are really popular. We talked about those this week. We have each one's got about 18 or 19 songs on it. And we're asking $25 a piece or all three for $60. Then we have the most popular, the book, the one book next to my Bible that I would have, and that's the Bible Answer, the little what we call the Little Red Book. It is handy. It is there. It is something that we use continuously. We ask a donation of $25. Or you can get what they call the Grand Slam here, all of them, the whole package for $150, and you save $45. So there you go. Now, some of you out there listening say, boy, I would sure love one of that. I just wish I could afford it. I can't afford it. Well, if you're destitute, give us a call at 440-338-1367, 440-338-1367. We're not in this thing for making the money. We're in this thing for doing the Lord's work, and we have given away a lot of things for people that had the need, and because that's the right?
Why don't you take my donation and use it to help two people get the set that they want, that they can't afford it?
All right. What about...
Is that fair? Will that work?
Well, we can do that. Alrighty. Well, normally we're not going to send people the entire package, Joe. That's kind of going a little bit overboard, isn't it? Tell him, Wendy.
Well, I'm sure you know a book or two is fine. I don't know about the entire package.
Alrighty.
I'll leave it to you guys.
Alrighty. Donna in Ohio pledges a $160. Thank you, Donna in Ohio. All right, let's pick it up where we left off, because we're running out of time. We go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Joe, read 14 through 18.
Okay, because thou art lukewarm was the title, and in verse 15 is where we start, right?
Go ahead, 14. We'll redo it. We'll rehash.
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreements hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
All right, thanks, Joe. Patrick in Cleveland just pledged $150, and folks, the numbers are 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. First of all, when it says, "Not be you not unequally yoked," here, if we go back to Deuteronomy 22:10 and Leviticus 19:19, it forbids plowing with an ox and a jackass yoked together. You know, oxes were not real smart, but they were very hardworking. Kind of reminds me of some Christians, huh? Sometimes, Joe, others. But we know, what is the symbol of the mascot for the Democratic Party?
Jackass, isn't it?
It's a jackass, okay. And so he's telling you this because they pull in two different directions. And I find that really interesting. But anyhow, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Now that's an interesting word, concord there, with Christ with Belial. That word in the Greek, somphonesis, do you know where we what word we get from that word in the Greek? Symphony. That's where we get the word symphony. It was an interesting thing because
working together.
Pardon?
Working together.
Yeah. In sympathy. Yeah. And some years ago, when I was working, you know, at the saving babies out at the bloody abortion mills, we went to all of them. I hit them all out here. We had an injunction against me, and that meant on the injunction, I had special places where three islands at one abortion mill that I could stand on. But the court order said that only the people that were in concert with me could stand on that island while I was there. That was an interesting thing. And with that term, concert, you know, I said, does that mean that we're going to sing together? No, but it was the same word here, it used the very same word in concord. And so now, he says, what agreement have the temple of God with idols? And we are, our bodies are the temple of the Holy God, are they not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from amongst them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, do you see what the mainstream media, what they try to do? They try to confuse the word separatist, being a separatist, with a supremacist. You know how they use those interchangeably? And they also use the word a nationalist. So they try to make it look like it's all that to be a separatist or a nationalist is also the same as being a supremacist, and they're not the same at all. We're separatists. All Christians are to be separatists. And now, what do you think that means, Joe? To be separatist?
Well, what Scripture is trying to talk there is the idea of the believers, we're supposed to keep away from fellowship with those who are antichrist, ungodly, not bring them into our family, into our church, unless they're searching for knowledge. But it's keeping us from having the world affect us and change us.
Okay, so we're not really to fellowship with people that are not like-minded, that are not in...
We're not to bring them into our homes, into our church, into our close circle of friends. We can work with them. We can be with them on a neighborhood watch committee. We can work with them at work side by side. We might work with unbelievers, but we don't bring them into our intimate relationships and you know, close friendships.
Well, what if they're professing to be believers, but, for example, let's just say maybe charismatics or, well, let me give you an example. Some years ago,
same thing.
Yeah. Some years ago, I had some legalists who were professing Baptist tell me that I needed to come, and they wanted to give me some church discipline because I violated the second law, first and second laws of separation. So I asked them how so, and they told me that I've been seen on a number of occasions out in front of the abortion mills, and there was some Seventh-day Adventists out there, and there was some Catholics out there, and there was actually two eighth guys who confessed to be atheists, but at least they were pro-life.
Right.
And they said, therefore, I was out there, and I shouldn't have been, because... And I said, really? Well, sit down, boys. There were three of these guys. And I said, I've got some news for you. First of all, God's word, the Bible says, never, no, not ever, ever, interfere with people that are doing the Lord's work. If they're doing the Lord's work.
Right.
I said, number two, I like their way of being doers of the word better than your way of not being doers of the word. And then I nailed him, the three of them. One of them owned an electric company, the other one was a cop, and the other one was a painter. And so I asked them if they'd ever painted a Presbyterian or a Catholic or a Lutheran's home. Well, of course, that's painting. Then, remember, the hypocrisy. I asked the guy that owned the electric company, because he sold electrical parts. Same question. He said, well, of course, that's my business. Okay, there you go. I nailed him for the hypocrisy. And I told the cop,
my business is to be out there protecting life.
I told the cop, I said, did you ever write a ticket or pull over a Catholic or a Lutheran? Well, of course, that's my, yeah, I said, well, you see, what does the Bible teach about hypocrisy? And with these three, I'll just say this because of time, before I was finished with them, they had wished they had never done that, okay? And so... We have here, okay, we got to say, where are we at right now? We need about 45. We're about 4,500 short of our goal for tonight, but we're off to a good start, so we want to praise the good Lord. We want to say, Patrick in Cleveland plays 150, Susan in Michigan 100, and Bill in Massachusetts 350. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, Joe, let's go back here. Wherefore, come out from amongst them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Okay, Joe, Wendy, now the young people have been taught that here, inclusiveness, that being to welcome and to accommodate homosexuals, or transgenders, or pedophiles, it's a show of Christian love if you welcome them and embrace them and take them into the church, like the United Church of the Antichrist. What do you say about that?
Well, I don't think God likes that.
So what does God call it? He calls it the unclean thing, doesn't he?
Yes.
Right.
So here, let me read that again.
It calls it an abomination back in the Old Testament.
Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be your father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We'll be right back.
Once a man's home was his castle, only his foes would violate. And the border of his property was the moat round his estate. All these kingly rights of sovereignty, once bestowed on us by God, have been lost somewhere in history, in the fine print and the fraud. Once a man and his religion was protected by the law, In America, the Constitution formed a verbal wall. Now the law that used to separate is a law that's daily breached. Now the worried watchman on the wall is crying, heaven's under siege. Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets, and when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs, you know corruption reigns in government, but heaven's under siege. Heard the watchman sound a warning call back in 1992, when they murdered Vicky Weaver, just like they'll murder me or you. When they stormed the church in Waco, women and children burned alive. And now the ones who rot in prisons are the ones they let survive. Heaven's under siege, war now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets, and when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs, you know corruption reigns in government, when heaven's under siege. Now a voice cries in the wilderness as the Lord prepares his church. Will his called and chosen servants be found faithful on this earth? Will we pass the test of heaven's quest, never counting earthly loss? Will we fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross? Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets, and when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs, you know corruption reigns in government, when heaven's under siege. I said corruption reigns in government, when heaven's under siege.
Hi, I'm Gretchen with the Education Fund of Rights Life Action Coalition of Ohio. A yes vote on Issue 1 protects Ohio's Constitution from being shredded by special interests. A yes vote on 1 raises the bar to amend Ohio's Constitution from a weak, simple majority of 50% plus 1 to a strong majority of 60%. A yes on 1 requires signatures from voters in all 88 counties instead of just 44. Voters in all 88 counties will then determine if proposed amendments appear on the ballot. The League of Women Voters Ohio and the Ohio Democrat Party oppose Issue 1 and yet require a 60% vote to amend their constitutions. Why is Ohio's constitution held to a lower standard than theirs? A yes vote on Issue 1 ensures fairness and protects Ohio's Constitution.
Hey, man, we're back, and I know that lady. She is a wonderful lady. One of the things I want to say, Wendy, working with the ladies in the Right to Life, they are real ladies, all the ones I've worked for. God bless them, and he does. But Wendy Wilson, he's blessed you, too. And you always come up with some very, very good info. What do you have for us this week?
Well, I have a couple of things. I'll let you pick. It's artificial intelligence night, I guess. do you want to hear about how artificial intelligence may be designing the next viral threat? Or do you want to hear about the neurotech, artificial intelligence, and the human brain?
I want to know how they might be planning the next viral attack on us.
Okay. We'll do it. There was this article, Pastor, in Wired, and it was a publication called Wired, and they were promoting this discussion on how artificial intelligence will come into play regarding viral pandemics. So scientists are using artificial intelligence in their research, and some are surprised by some of the results they're getting. So the biotechnology area of our age is gaining a lot of momentum that in all honesty, seriously does concern some people. So there is this looming question if artificial intelligence can be controlled to keep humanity safe. Scientists are asking questions also such as, you know, who is overseeing the new branch of artificial intelligence that is developing algorithms from data it's been provided for rapidly growing databases on viral sequences. So here is a quote. Now, this research was out of Tel Aviv, Israel. This is one of the biologists there, Nir Ben-Tai. He says, artificial intelligence is changing this field radically, end of quote. So we got some super intelligence in the mix here, and we all remember the trailers for the Superman movies, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap buildings with a single bound. Remember that?
Well, you bet I did. I used to have a Superman lunchbox.
Oh, so this could also be described, this could also kind of be described in artificial intelligence in its kind of an unbelievable feat to amass a lot of data and knowledge that is multiplying each second. So saying artificial intelligence is becoming the game changer is kind of an understatement. But will it be for the betterment of humanity is the question. If all artificial intelligence is a threat to humanity, what will be its kryptonite? Well, let's look at the next pandemic, because artificial intelligence has been putting virus data into algorithms such as a ferret virus, and that virus is called H7N9. So this virus has been used by scientists to create human influenzas. The reason science uses this ferret virus is it offers a unique model for easy human-to-human infection or transmission. So this component of the ferret virus can make a man-made virus into a deadly disease. And the time is, you know, it traditionally would take to research all these pathogens from other species to see what would make them infect humans. Well, it was a long, painstaking process. But now, with the artificial intelligence, the scientists question the DNA protein sequences for, let's say, certain viruses, can they be answered? And in just a few hours, artificial intelligence comes up with the answers. So your AI is collecting a database of viral protein sequences, and it's interesting that in this article they were discussing this issue, described it as AI is armed with a rapidly growing database of viral sequences. So why did they say it that way? AI is armed. That's an interesting choice of words. Also, the scientists from all over the world are taking advantage of it. They're using a lot of sophisticated techniques from these algorithms, and with the help of AI, this new branch of research is showing scientists where the key properties of your viral strains are, and they're picking out the most deadly ones as if they were picking out a pair of socks. What do you think, Pastor?
Well, here's what I think. What I'm going to be doing, Lord's willing, unless the Lord changes it, I'm going to be preaching a message on AI versus AUI. And we're going to see how this is going to come out, because you see, artificial intelligence versus absolute ultimate intelligence, and there's only one,
right?
And so we're going to take a look at where AI is coming from and where everything came from. And so it's going to take a lot of work on this one.
Well, okay. You remember long ago when they first came out, a lot of this computer stuff, there was that phrase, garbage in, garbage out. And artificial intelligence is still a supercomputer. And if garbage is put into it, this information is put into it, you're going to get what? You're going to get a lot of garbage along with some of this wonderful stuff.
Well, now these computers, Joe, they've gotten to the point, and let me ask you this, because you both will know the answer. If, in fact, these computers now are communicating with each other, and what is and the results of that is pure is a lot of evil. If a lot of evil comes from the fact that they're communicating with each other, then who is behind it?
Mm-hmm. Well, you go back to the programmers, because what men are evil, because the Bible said men are wicked in their thoughts, so what, wicked continually, right? Mm-hmm. And if everything that's been put into computers and programming has been done by flawed human beings, the end product is going to be flawed like the creator.
But Joe,
but the machine creator.
Who influences men in their sinister actions? Where?
Satan.
All right, now you got it. This is where it's coming from, isn't it? The dark side.
I was working back, but it's those evil men. That God was saying that, you know, if you have somebody wicked, their actions, their deeds are going to follow their what?
Okay, so
where they are, where they're wired.
If we take it and look at the wicked people out there today, what is their main goal? Is the depopulation of the planet Earth? Okay,
right, and absolute gain, absolute power over the quote the rest of us, the proletariat.
All righty. Okay, we have Deacon John has pledged 100. Patricia in New Jersey has pledged 150. And James in Illinois has pledged 150. Thank you, thank you, thank you, folks. So there you go. We gotta keep that up. But go ahead and pick it up, Wendy.
Okay, so artificial intelligence, actually, by the way, it can look at hundreds of thousands of flu strains simultaneously. And this reveals a lot of common criteria among the flu strains that it can compare. And it offers a more diversity regarding transmission rates, especially among humans. So, of course, scientists say it is for the betterment of humanity to do this, to protect us from these diseases that I guess they're creating and, of course, making new vaccines for. So they had a mission. They gave the artificial intelligence computers a mission. So this new branch of science, arming AI, has also asked the AI computers to solve the mysteries of viruses. So here's some of the questions they were asked. What makes some viruses more lethal than others? List the mechanical features that enable a virus to trigger an immune response. How can this information be used in vaccine development? Identify genetic variants that enable humans to fight viruses, and also identify gene mutations that transform viruses. Now, that information, in a nutshell, can make a very dangerous vaccine if AI answers those questions.
All right, well, let me ask you this, because, you know, in the Bible we see how God has turned the wicked upon each other. How mm-hmm. And so you have Bill Gates, you have Klaus Schwab, you have George Soros, you have all of these people out there, the depopulation crowd, and, of course, Mark Zuckerberg, and they want to use this to depopulate it. But how are they going to keep this from turning on themselves?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I often wondered that, you know. I mean, they're not walking around in bubble suits, are they? So that, you know, sometimes they, I don't know, a mental illness of that nature, you know, when they start thinking like, you know, they're above everything else, God has other plans, you know?
Well, so in other words, you say they've been turned over to reprobate minds. So
I think so. Yeah. They don't think it'll happen to them. And I think they have maybe received some sort of promise of protection from Lucifer, maybe.
Could be.
Yeah, but the scientists are already, Pastor, planning these experiments with artificial intelligence as it answers them. For instance, artificial intelligence delivers information on the list of mutation candidates on the viruses, and scientists are planning genetically engineering these mutations and experiment with their effects. Wired publication said this September 2013. They said this method can involve creating a potentially dangerous virus two papers published in 2012 on the H5N1 bird flu, which typically does not spread among people, caused a theory because researchers introduced mutations that made the virus better able to spread among the ferrets. And critics were concerned that these findings could be co-opted to make the virus spread among humans, which they eventually did. Wired goes on to say, machine learning techniques are helping scientists pinpoint the mutations that allowed bird and pig viruses to infect humans.
I've got to give the numbers out again.
Okay.
Folks, the line's got to, those guys out there, you can't let those guys back in the boiler room. They'll sit there with no phones to answer. Who knows what they might do? They might fight or something. So you got to call at 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Remember, idle hands are the devil's tools. Keep the phones in their hands, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We only have 2 days after tonight to raise enough money to fight this fight for another solid month. All right, Wendy, go for it.
Well, this is the last quote, I believe, from Wired. Second to last. They said, machine learning algorithms have been used to study DNA and protein sequences for over 20 years, but only in the last few years have scientists applied them to viruses. So in this Israel study, scientists found one or more candidates from the artificial intelligence list. They studied them in depth to reveal more detail and to explain why did the artificial intelligence select them. Well, it revealed the viruses had very deadly mutations. And so science is looking for the key to such viruses and how they typically spread. So the viral database has more than 60,000 novel viruses in them. And Wired went on to say, for the novel candidates, researchers are now studying viruses with these mutations in human cell lines to see how efficiently they can infect human cells with them. And going back to Professor Ben Tai in Israel, he said, many mutations can make it easier to cross the avian to human species barrier. So that's why they're important, and that's why artificial intelligence picked them out.
Wow.
So, you know, now's the time for people to start, you know, planning. So what did the Bible say, you know, to endure to the end? Well, that can require a bit of planning.
Yeah, it certainly can. And we need to do that. And one of the things that as we plan this, you know, when it comes to these, we've got to have the best immune systems we can possibly have, don't we?
Yeah, I just did a show on science. They revealed that a common herb that boosts your immune system also is good for your heart. It helps deter heart attacks.
Would that common herb by any chance be something like garlic?
No, it's astragalus root.
Alrighty. Now, it's time to give yourself a commercial because, folks, remember, God gave us the natural herbs, and Big Pharma gives us all the pharmakia, all of the drugs. So now ask yourself, who knows best about what can give you a good immune system to keep you healthy? So Wendy, go ahead again.
Yeah, God knows best. He told us about these herbs in Scripture. He said herbs are here for the service of man, the healing of the nation. So that's a pretty good guarantee, isn't it?
Good enough for me, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I've learned to trust herbs. They are amazing, and they don't maybe work overnight for some folks, but you know they're there for super nutritional elements. That's why they're packed, and that's why they taste bitter. So that's that old saying, good medicine always tastes bitter. But yeah, so if folks are interested in learning more about herbs, we do have a free product catalog. They can call us at 866-229-3663 and request one, 866-229-3663. Of course, we do have a website. You can order one from the web. It's thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com.
I've been taking your power herbs for many, many years now, And they work. They work. Yeah, you're right. Some of them don't taste the best, but they work, okay? And some of them, like my son learned, can be pretty hot at times. You have some real ingredients in some of those, and
mm-hmm. Yeah. So some of the formulas require circulatory help, you know, to get around the system. So that helps, you know, distribute those medicinal properties quickly. So that's why sometimes you do pair them with some spicy things.
And so sometimes some of those you have to put in a little bit of juice or something and mm-hmm. take it, you know, to kind of lower the heat factor. Now,
a lot of people find tomato juice helps if they are not, you know, subject to allergic reaction to the nightshade plants. Tomatoes, the enzymes cool the hot taste of those hot, spicy herbs.
I like using it in V8 juice and
vegetable
juice.
Yeah, see, that's a tomato.
But yep. And what happens, like my son had, you know, him and I both, as you know, we love chili. And he kind of believed he could eat some pretty hot stuff. And I told him, well, with this here, you don't take it and drop it directly under your, you know, tongue. Like sometimes you take a dropper full of some of your medicines and just put it right under your tongue and it's absorbed right away. And I told him, don't do that, not with this. And so he kind of smirked and he took a dropper full and he put it under his tongue. And then he made some strange noises.
Yeah, and, right.
But anyhow.
I know. I hear you have a really interesting chili recipe.
Well, yes, I do. I won 14 mm-hmm. Northeast Ohio Chili Cook-Off contests in my days and came in second place on 4 times. So I've cooked some good pots of bursts of good beans in my time.
Okay, is it just chili, or are you good on the grill? Do you, if you have the Pastor Sanders recipe book, maybe that's something you can sell for.
No, chili is about the only thing I can do right. It's about the only thing. The rest, I don't do too well.
Oh, okay.
So, at least you know I'm known for something, right?
Well, is it a family secret, the recipe?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's it. Yeah, so
ancient Chinese secret.
Yeah, my son won first place 3 times, and so anyhow, I wanted to say Rose in Illinois pledges 50. Thank you, Rose. And James in Illinois pledges 150. Thank you, James. So very good. All right, I'm going to play something for you guys. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell me if you know who this is. Okay.
If you have a piece of crack cocaine no bigger than this quarter that I'm holding in my hand, $0.25, we passed a law through the leadership of Senator Thurman and myself and others, a law that says if you're caught with that, you go to jail for 5 years. You get no probation. You get nothing other than 5 years in jail. Judge doesn't have a choice. Under our forfeiture statutes, the government can, take everything you own. Everything from your car to your house, your bank account, not merely what they confiscate in terms of the dollars from the transaction that you've just got caught engaging in. They can take everything. I don't care why they become a sociopath. We have an obligation to cordon them off from the rest of society. They are in jail. Away from my mother, your husband, our families. So I don't want to ask what made them do this. They must be taken off the street.
Now, who do you think that was, Wendy and Joe?
Was that McCarthy?
No.
Sounds a lot like a young Joe Biden.
That was Senator Joe Biden. But now,
no way.
Yeah, that was Senator Joe Biden. I guess he never got the memo. Hunter never got the memo, did he?
No.
And so
he has flip-flopped more than, you know, a beach bunny with her, what do they call them? The, what do they call those shoes with the toe things?
Oh, yeah, he's flip-flopped on a whole lot of things, okay.
Oh, yeah.
And so let me see where we're at right now. Okay, we are, okay. We are down to, we need, we're 4,000 and, let's see, one, two, look, 4,800. We need 4,800. Is that right? Yeah. No, wait a minute. No, it's 3,000. It's 3,800. That's what we're at, 3,800. Okay. Thank you. All righty. A little slow on my math tonight. I was only off by 1,000. Anyhow, Peggy in Ohio pledges 300. I'll bet I know who, which Peggy
billions,
that is,
and
too.
Trillions.
And Jane in Georgia pledges 50. And thank you, thank you. All right. Now, what'd you say, Joe?
You know, the Congress critters work in billions and trillions, and one of them once said the secret. Well, we just do everything like 1.2, 1.3. I can understand 1.2, 1.3. And then we just put the billion behind it.
Well, you know, one time I had people from the Army Corps of Engineers, a young woman who, she must have just gotten out of college or whatever. She was working, and she came over and along the river. As you know, I have the river runs about 1,200 feet through my property, and she was looking at the river and what needed to be done, you know, to keep it from eroding, so on and so forth. And so she's telling me what I needed to do. And, you know, and what they wanted you to do every 75 feet to get another permit. You go and get another permit. So I said, look, here, if you're serious about this, what you could do, you can give me about 500 tons of broken concrete, and we'll put it in here. And she says, no. We only work in like billion-dollar projects. I said, I'm willing to go that high. And that was all she needed to hear. But there you go. What do you think of that, Wendy?
Yeah. Always.
We only work in billion-dollar projects.
Yeah. They're pretty good at spending other people's money, huh?
Yeah.
All right, Wendy, I know that you have to get some beauty sleep.
I do. I have to go rest the old eyeballs. I've been on the computer too much today.
Well, God bless you. Thanks for being here. And, you know, we'll keep in touch. We'll be back right after this. We have a whole lot more to go, so don't go away. He's counting down right now. Listen, 5, 4, 3, 2, we'll be back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.